Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Hump Day edition of The Yard, we will be abbreviated today. Like many of you, I got caught up in the election coverage last night that went into the wee hours of the morning. So we got a few hours sleep and here we are. And I got to get in the car and head to Meridian. We've got book signing at the Bulldog Shop in downtown Meridian today from 11 to 1. So if you're in the area, please come out, pick up some signed copies of the books. I'd love to see you. We're going to talk about everything but the election. A new day in America for sure. And again, we were largely apolitical on this show, but we're going to talk about a couple things. We won't do a top 10 list today, but we'll get caught up with all that on Friday's show. Also, a reminder, on Thursday, which is tomorrow, I will be at the Mistletoe Marketplace at the Trademark in Jackson all day with College Corner. So come out, be a part of that, or let your wife know. You know, what you want for Christmas, and we'll take care of that. And for those of you that are still waiting for your books, you should have them in the next day or so. If you don't, go to the dutynoblebook.com website and click on the Contact Us link, and they can research that for you. Getting very, 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 very few messages about that. So it does appear that things have gone rather smoothly, even though a few of you may have an issue. That's one of those things that happens too. Matter of fact, we've had a couple of books come back for some reason, so they will contact you about that. But rest assured, it will be taken care of. And it's very important to me that you guys get good service. It's my name on the book, and so people reach out to me, and I do my best to forward that on. But it would save us both a couple of steps if you would contact them directly. And if they can't get it resolved, please let me know, and I'm happy to inquire on your behalf. But great times with the dude, for sure. And we should see the name of the dude on the Mississippi bestseller list when it comes out on Sunday. I expect it probably to be around maybe 4 or 5, maybe 6. And then we'll start working our way, hopefully, towards number 1. So thank our friends, the Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I've loved them for a long time. I love everything about it. I love the service. I love the atmosphere, I love the selection, I love the integrity in pricing, because you get more than what you pay for there. There are a few places in life where you can say that. The portion's incredibly substantial. It's been 4 years since we've had COVID. A lot of people out there are still charging you a convenience fee or whatever. I don't know whose convenience that we're being charged for, but it's not you or me. Bulldog Burger Company, doing things the right way. 3 great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. It's true. I've been on a smokehouse kick. I'm still on that, even though the other day we got some wings and some spring rolls. That's a nice little combination too. Great portions for lunch. Get those Sloppy Joe sliders, perhaps the BLT salad. I love it, man. I do. And I know that when you mention it, hey, kids, where do you want to stop and eat? Where do you want to go out to eat? Bulldog Burger Company is typically one of the first suggestions for good reason. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. Mississippi State Soccer wins an absolute incredible game against Tennessee. Now, Tennessee has been a power within this conference for a while. This year hasn't been one of their better years. Still a good year to make the league tournament. We do expect them to make the NCAA tournament. Mississippi State now still alive, and I believe State has done all they need to do to earn a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, no matter what happens the rest of the way. Bulldogs now in the semifinals will take on South Carolina on Thursday, tomorrow. So no action today. Thursday at 3:30 in the semifinals game. Back-to-back years for your Bulldogs in the SEC semifinals. But I thought the first half of this ball game, especially with maybe the first 40 minutes, I thought State looked a step and a half faster than Tennessee in every aspect. On both sides of the pitch, it felt like any ball into open space was played to a Mississippi State player. Great job in the midfield, and we kept setting up offensive opportunities over and over and over again. And it took forever to finally capitalize on one. There were a couple of errant shots. And listen, this is a veteran team, but sometimes the moment gets a bit big. It does. The players are not oblivious to what's at stake. And Mississippi State in a position where they could host every game in the NCAA tournament until they get to the College Cup Final Four. It's true. And so you feel like, hey, we probably needed to get a win. I don't know how deep we want to play, but now that we're here, you start thinking about, okay, you know, we've got, you know, world-class facilities here at Mississippi State. So, you know, rest and recovery should be something we should handle. But it felt like, you know, hey, State, definitely the aggressor in the match. Hannah Johnson opens up the scoring. Really, really great job there. Kara Harris with the assist. But she kind of turns and fires, and it bangs in off the far post. Kind of ricochets into the other side of the net. And, give Tennessee a lot of credit for making it a game after that, because I really thought in the second half that Tennessee was the aggressor. There were times it appeared that we were almost playing not to lose. We came out maybe those first few minutes of the second half trying to get that second goal, which would pretty much have put things away. But we didn't get it. And then the Bulldog defense really had to stand tall. There was so much pressure. Especially on the corners. They had a lot of set pieces, and they ultimately score, you know, with, 15 minutes to go in the ballgame. And it's officially credited as an on goal. And we had a play earlier where Aitana Martinez-Montoya does a great job. Maddie Anderson is beat, but right there on the back post is Aitana who redirects it. And you felt like, okay, maybe it's just our night. You know, maybe it's just our night. Well, lo and behold, we do give up the goal there. It was touched by a Tennessee player, but ultimately goes off a State player and into the net. So officially an on goal, but give them credit for so many opportunities where they just kind of continued to ratchet up the pressure, and the Bulldogs eventually gave way. We end up going to double overtime. The first overtime period, I felt like State comes out and was much more aggressive on the offensive end. And it felt like we'd get it done. Now, a golden goal is available to you in overtime play in the SEC tournament. Now, there are a lot of games out there. If you keep up, you know, with big-time soccer, you know, if you're watching the U.S. men's national team or the women's national team, you play two overtime periods, you know, one on each side, regardless, you know. And there are sometimes these games end up being two-goal games because you score two goals in the overtime periods. But in the interest of time, in a bracketed tournament, you have a golden goal. And so you just kind of felt like, you know, hey, this could happen. Well, lo and behold, at the end of the first period, first overtime period, and this was correctly called. I didn't like it, but it was the right call. Maddie Anderson comes off her line, tries to make a play there, and just kind of whiffs. She's trying to make a play on the ball, but she misses the ball and essentially trips the Tennessee forward there. Sets up a PK. one of the most exciting plays in all sports, the PK in overtime, especially on a format like this in the postseason. I didn't think it was a great PK attempt, and those of you that followed the game would probably agree with me. There just wasn't much pace to it. It barely gets off the ground, but give Maddie Anderson a ton of credit here. She wasn't given anything. Maddie reads this all the way. You can kind of tell body language, where this ball is headed. She reads it immediately, and as soon as she strides to the ball, Maddie is already breaking to her right, makes a nice save. Dutton secured the save initially, kind of bounces off her just a foot or so, but then she secures it. From that point forward, Mississippi State was rejuvenated. I thought we were a little bit flat, but you see Riley Combs out there in Maddie's face, let's go, let's go. And it just kind of felt like then Tennessee was done. It was just a matter of time. Well, we get to the opening kickoff of the second overtime period. State gets possession, and Maddie Anderson put us in a great position there. I mean, you begin to think about that aspect of it, right? I mean, what kind of juice are you going to have? Because more times than not, PKs are successful. And so State goes out there, gets the ball. Hannah Johnson makes just an absolutely pinpoint perfect pass over the top. And then it's Aitana on the other end of it with the volley. And I put on Twitter one timer, and of course I have one of these gatekeeper kids that comes out and says, "Oh, I love it when new people watch soccer." Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he didn't smile, brother. But anyway, Aitana, full extension there, redirects it, and it was a beautiful goal, among the most beautiful goals that I have ever seen in Mississippi State soccer. One of the biggest ones ever. The celebration was phenomenal. And how great is it? There are so many people, middle of the year, you're like, Mississippi State's kind of a one-person team. Allie Perry's the one you got to watch. And Allie, I thought, had some really big moments in this ball game. But people are determined to make somebody else beat them. And then we see Hannah Johnson really beginning to kind of exert herself over the course of the last month. One of State's probably best sprinters with the ball. And she's very calm on the ball. She just doesn't get excited. They rarely can kind of get to her. I mean, she's just got such good pace. But this shot over the top, incredible. And the goalkeeper basically is just at your mercy. You just got to hope that you miss. And Aitana stays on sides, plays the ball perfectly. Incredible, incredible result there. So State wins, and I know many of you, again, becoming new fans of the sport, you got to see kind of a world-class situation there. You just don't see those kind of things happen very often. So bringing you up to speed on what remains, recapping yesterday's action. Again, there is no games today, but Arkansas, a late goal to knock off a very pesky Georgia side, 1-0. So Arkansas advances to the semifinals, take on Texas. The Longhorns, 3-0 winners over LSU. And so 2-3 matchup, that will be the late game on Thursday. And, of course, Mississippi State, 2-1 winners in double overtime over Tennessee. South Carolina really got after Alabama. That game was, well in hand long before it went final. South Carolina wins 4-1 in the contest. So a rematch is the Bulldogs will take on South Carolina in the early game on Thursday. Bulldogs will play at 3:30 on the network against the Gamecocks, and then Arkansas versus Texas, the 2-3 matchup at 6. So the chalk holds when it's all said and done. Top four seeds all advance, and all four of these will be in a great position once the NCAA tournament is announced. The championship game is going to be Sunday, November 10th, 1:30 Central, down in Pensacola. And so when you start thinking about your weekend, hopefully the Bulldogs can advance to that. But again, I think the Bulldogs have done enough. But you know how competitive our ladies are. If you follow the team at all, you understand that, hey, when they're on the pitch, they expect to win. They play to win. And so if you're there, you start thinking about, we can get back. We can work on some things. And we know we're going to be home, so we don't have to worry about travel for the NCAA tournament for a while, provided that we advance. And so you start thinking, too, about the possibilities, perhaps a top overall seed in the tournament. It's going to be difficult to catch Duke. But you could do your part and perhaps make this thing awfully interesting. And if you're not the number one seed, possibly number two or number three. And again, State should be in a great position. And so we go ahead and encourage you to begin thinking about your plans when you begin to consider, you know, the NCAA tournament games are going to be here, and that will be a ticketed event. It's important to understand, too, you know, that life is not free. But I'm looking up here just to kind of give you the dates here just because we want you to be prepared, so we should be prepared.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
The Division I women's soccer tournament is going to begin here. If we can get the the screen to refresh. It's funny how life works. I always still relying on that sort of stuff. Well, let's see here. Give you the selection show information. That'll be fun to watch too. Okay, so all right, the selection show is Monday. We'll pause that. Monday at 3 p.m. Central on NCAA.com. I'm sure that we'll have a media opportunity that afternoon after, you know, Jeff Levy has his press conference. Or maybe we won't do one next week because of the open day. Yeah, we probably won't do one because of the open date, now that I think about it. But 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. So we find out, you know, who's coming here. And first run action will be November 15th, 16th, or 17th. That's Friday through Sunday. So, you know, we're going to immediately go from conference tournaments to the NCAA tournament. So be thinking about that. That would be awfully interesting, right? Second, third rounds will be the 22nd, 24th. And then the national quarterfinals, 29th and 30th. So you start, you know, begin, you know, we could play soccer for a while. NAFL championship is December the 9th. And, you know, how cool would it be, Mississippi State, to be in contention for something that significant? So it has been an absolute blast covering this team. Again, I know many of you are kind of along the ride for the very first time. And I can tell you on behalf of everybody at Mississippi State, they're very appreciative of that. Let's thank Blair Chandler, our friend. Closeatblair.com. If you're looking to get a mortgage, looking to find your retirement home, a game day condo, your first home or your next home, Blair Chandler can help you with that. There's a lot of challenges in life. Don't make it more complicated than it has to be. When you're looking for your mortgage, you're looking for a mortgage, you stick with Blair Chandler, 23 years of experience in the mortgage industry, guy that's a Bulldog fan through and through, guy that understands the emotional investment that's required to be a Bulldog at times. Give him a call at 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. Get his years of experience working for you. He knows how to construct loans in a way that they're more likely to be approved. And there are some people, too, that maybe are not in a position to buy a house today, but Blair can get you on a path to put you in a position to buy one in the future. That's an important aspect of it, too. And if you're looking for a house for the first time or even a second time, get that pre-qualification letter. It'll really, you talk about get your real estate agent motivated. We have some great ones in this state. But you get that pre-qualification letter, especially as a new home buyer. It's like money in the bank. Yeah, for sure. And you don't need to be out there shopping at a home well above your means anyway. I mean, there's no point in how nice your house is if you have to work overtime to pay for it because you're never there to enjoy it. That's no way to live. So again, 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Check out the website, closewithblair.com. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with Blair. Now, how cool is that? Yeah, several. He kind of keeps me apprised of all that stuff. He goes, hey, I just closed another Boneyard loan. So you guys are listening, and we think it's an amazing thing that we can all work together, kind of navigate through this challenging prospect of life. All right. Let's look ahead here now at the University of Tennessee football team. We've been in a situation, too. We've been in a conference with Tennessee forever. You know what I mean? It's like you go back and you think back to the infancy of football in the South. You know, we have been with Tennessee forever. You know, you had the SIAA, the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Association. Then you had, the Southern, the SoCon. Then you had the SEC. We've been together forever. But it's weird. One of those weird things. Guys, we've only played 46 times. And when you begin to think about your own Bulldog experiences, you recognize we have not played a lot of games against Tennessee. The series dates back to 1907. Duty Noble himself was just a young man on the farm in Learned, Mississippi. Yeah, he didn't show up in Mississippi State for a couple more years. But, so 1907, and State wins that game 11-4. We lose that game 11-4. Pretty impressive Tennessee team that year. And then we don't play again until 1910. And then Duty's part of this team in 15 that wins 14-0. And then we win at 19 in Knoxville again, and then 20. So we win the first, four of the first five. And you think, okay, well, look at the boys from Stark Vegas. From that time, it has pretty much been in favor of the Volunteers, with one rare exception. We had a little run there, 78-79. We won both of those games in Memphis. And then in 1986, of course, Don Smith's shining moment as a Bulldog is we go into Neyland Stadium. And what I remember about that is Joey Klingscales from Tennessee, the very talented receiver early in the ball game, runs into the goalpost and has to leave the ball game. One of their biggest offensive threats. But it was one of the, we win that game, and it's like, man, I can't believe we're here. Because it's a rare thing that we play them, and an even more rare thing that we beat them. But it's interesting. I mean, it truly is. And we have played probably more games in Memphis than we have in Knoxville. I'm not going to do the math. You can do it for yourself. But you look at this, for years we played the game in Memphis on what was considered neutral territory. I don't know if that's true, but that's where we played. And again, we've played in Starkville, we've played in Memphis, we've played in Knoxville, and we've played in Atlanta, Mississippi State's 1 year to appear in the SEC Championship game back in 98. Lightning has struck. How many times have you gone back and watched that highlight of Kevin Prentice returning a punt for a touchdown, or a kickoff for a touchdown? And Keith Jackson's memorable call there, and it just felt like as well as we were playing defense, maybe we had a chance. Ultimately, it doesn't work out. Peerless Price gets us, T. Martin was the quarterback, and we lose 24-14. But, we have only won against Tennessee one time since 1994. We beat them in 94 in Starkville, and for years that was the big touchdown to the tight end there was a big part of our pregame packaging because it was such a rare thing. And then the next time is when Chad Bumpus and Tyler Russell and Malcolm Johnson's big moment to catch that touchdown at the end line there for State to put that game away 41-31. It was an incredible night at Davis-Wade Stadium. But again, it's a rarity. And the last time that we played, I was back in 2019, and you remember that Tennessee team was absolutely struggling. And Jim Moorhead and his group went in there and sparked them. They ended up winning seven of their final eight games, including the bowl game. We kind of got them going. And you begin to wonder, if we'd won that game, maybe how things were different. And I'll tell you real quickly, if we're sitting there waiting for Joe to come off the field. And I was shooting photography back then. And I got a picture of Joe walking towards us, looking a little bit forlorn. I turned to David Murray. I showed him a shot. I said, when we fire Joe, that's the picture we use. When we write this story, that Joe Moorhead has been relieved of duty. That's the image. And ultimately, that proved to be the case. But to me, that's what it kind of felt like it was unraveling. When we go to Knoxville, a place that we rarely win, against a very vulnerable Tennessee team, and Tommy Stevens basically kind of gifts the game away right before the half. If Garrett Schrader had started the game, we'd probably win the game. I don't even like going back and thinking about that game. But they won. And Jeremy Pruitt, of course, later was fired due to an NCAA investigation. But Bulldogs with 16 wins all time against Tennessee. Going to be tough to get one this week. The Tennessee team played exceptionally well. Currently ranked, number 7 in the country. 7-1 overall. So how'd they get here? Well, they opened up with a bloodletting of the moccasins of UT Chat, 69-3. They go take on NC State in Charlotte. And at the time, the Wolfpack ranked 23 in the country. And they absolutely destroyed these guys 51-10. I expected Tennessee to win. Wasn't expecting that. A week later, they get Kent State. The Golden Flashes show up at Neyland Stadium and lose 71-0. And so you look those first couple of weeks, like, man, offensively, Tennessee may be a juggernaut. And it's not like you can say, well, they were just playing, the Mississippi School of Math and Science. They did play a ranked team from the ACC along the way. And so I was a believer in the offense. I think many of you were as well. Things have changed a little bit in recent weeks. But, big win. The homecoming for Josh Heupel to go to Oklahoma, and they win that game 25-15, and it never really felt like Oklahoma was a threat. And so now all of a sudden you start thinking, okay, these guys are 4-0, and their opener in the SEC was a road game against a ranked Oklahoma team. Maybe these guys are for real. And then the next week, or 2 weeks later, pardon me, they go to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and have a chance to put that game away. They don't, and ultimately lose 19-14, the only loss of the year. That's something that the FBS playoff committee mentioned, that they kind of paid attention to that. My thing is, I don't know if you can be, do you have to be maybe that critical of losing a road game in the Southeastern Conference? Right? I mean, it's the toughest league in the country, and you got to go in somebody's backyard. Not that Fayetteville is necessarily Tiger Stadium or anything, but anytime that you got to go into somebody else's neck of the woods and win a ball game, that's tough. But they should have won the game. They didn't win the game, but that's something to kind of, that's probably going to ride them like an anchor, because Arkansas may only win one more game the rest of the way. And then they get Florida, and this Florida team has got athletes, doesn't have great results. They have to go to overtime, but they win the game at home. And then they get Alabama up there. And Hypes beat them 2 consecutive trips to Knoxville. Alabama was number 7 at the time. It looked like that Tennessee kind of put them in a tailspin. And then last week, of course, they win 28-18. And probably should have been worse. They had trouble finishing drives, had to settle for field goal attempts, and then missed all 3 of them. So the score of that game maybe is not indicative of how well Tennessee played. But that's how they get to 7-1. And one could argue should be undefeated. Josh Heupel's done an amazing job up there, really have. And that's the thing you go back and think about. When Jeremy Pruitt got fired, nobody wanted that job. Nobody wanted that job because of the sanctions that were expected. And then they ended up being okay. They weren't crippling sanctions. And they were, of course, were staffers involved in this thing. Jeremy Pruitt, his wife, both allegedly involved, with craziness, man. So a lot of people expected them to get hammered. Well, Josh Heupel, of course, had done some great things in Central Florida. And they hire him. And even Tennessee fans just kind of panned the hire. Not all of them, but some of them. They think, hey, we're Tennessee. We should be able to go out and get somebody big time. Well, they did get somebody big time. They did. And maybe it wasn't the hero they wanted, but he was the hero they needed. And he goes up there and helps them navigate through some very difficult things. A ton of those guys hit the portal trying to flee from sanctions. Because like, hey, I don't want to be on a bad team. I don't want to miss going to bowl games. I'm getting out of here. And so Heupel has to deal with that. And then they still managed to put a winning season together. And now you look at this thing now, 4 years in, and now you're projected to be in the playoffs. They've got a really good chance here. All right, so let's take a look and kind of dig in the numbers here, because we talk about offensive numbers, and they haven't been as good in conference play offensively. They've been outstanding defensively. And I don't know that that gets enough credit, because you've got the offensive-minded coach, and so people say, hey, you know, look at this. You know, it's been great. But you don't score a lot of points against Tennessee. Now, we also went up and put some points against Texas, who is the number one scoring defense in the country. So it's not like we should be totally intimidated, but this is going to be a ball game. It's probably not going to be a ton of points scored, at least for us. All right, Tennessee averages over 38 points a game, giving up 12.3. Yeah, almost 12.4. Yeah, tough to get that 0.4. But very, very stingy. They've only allowed 99 points the entire year. And they've had some struggles in the first quarter. The first halves have not been offensive masterpieces. And so you got to be able to survive the first quarter. And I expect to see a lot of Dylan Sampson. They'll come out and try to establish the run, because we have been particularly vulnerable to that. But if somehow we can survive the first quarter and get this thing to the half, you know, who knows, right? Well, not projecting a Bulldog win. But I know that Hype and Levy are friends. They go back a ways. But, you know, Hype's a little bit farther along in his career than Jeff is. And not to mention, he's had the benefit of a handful of classes to kind of build the roster the way he wants to. So that aspect of it's interesting. All right, 88 first downs on the ground for Tennessee and 89 passing. It's about as balanced as you can be, 11 by way of penalty. They've allowed most of the first downs on defense through the air. And that kind of stands to reason, as more times than not, Tennessee has been ahead in these ball games, so people are chasing the game. They've only allowed 48 rushing first downs. Been exceptional against the run. 67 by way of pass, but only 131 total. We talk about running. They're outrushing their opponents 2-1. And that's just in gross numbers, right? It gets even more substantial when you look at the TFLs. Tennessee as a team has run for 1,876 yards. They've allowed 721. Now, a lot of those, of course, you know, quarterback sacks. You know, so that negates a lot of the quarterback runs, and of course that comes off your total there. But you know, pretty significant. As a team, Tennessee averaging 5.2 yards per carry defensively, giving up 2.5. That makes it tough, man. You're always in third and long, third and medium. That's a tough way to do business. The Volunteers averaging 234 yards per game, allowing just 90. So running against these guys are sure enough going to be a real challenge. Got to work in some new wrinkles. From a passing component here, it's 153 of 234 attempts for Tennessee and 6 interceptions thrown. Conversely, opponents are 135 of 230 with 7 interceptions thrown. They run a ton of plays. 600 plays on the year. Officially 597. But when you start looking into this total offense, you know, 474 yards. And again, they've played some ranked opponents. You know, it's not, again, not like they're just going out there lining up and just playing, you know, a bunch of Louisiana directional schools over and over and over again. Outgaining their opponents by over 200 yards a game. This is a legit offense. But I would suggest this defense may be equally or as good or better. They even do a great job on special teams. I mean, really every facet of the game, you know. Kickoff return average, you know, they're returning it about 22, giving up 12. Yeah, so we talk about, man, I wish we'd return it more. I think this week you probably, you know, take the fair catch. You take the touchback. When they're only allowing 12.25 yards per return, you're just giving away yards. I think this is probably a week where it's the smart play. Punting has not been a great thing for them. Maybe we don't have enough practice here on the net, but 44.4 yards punt average, and they're giving up about 5 yards of return. hadn't had a ton of practice, I guess, but only 31 punts on the year. Opponents have punted 49 times. They are 12 of 18 in field goal attempts. We discussed that a little bit earlier this week, and they've been good, you know, to the first couple of ball games, but they've missed five of their last six field goal attempts, including all three against Kentucky. And so if it gets down to a field goal, which I don't expect, maybe that's a good thing for Mississippi State. Opponents 8 of 14. Tennessee's had one onside kick, and they got it. Opponents have onside kicked it one time and didn't get it. But, you know, penalties at times has been an issue, but I think that's a product of being aggressive. 67 yards in penalties per game. Opponents right at 53. Time possession's pretty much even. Tennessee possesses at 29-12. Opponents 30-46. So, I mean, again, you look at some of these games and how competitive they've been, it kind of stands to reason. They've been excellent on third down on both sides of the football. 45% conversion rate for the Tennessee offense. Tennessee defense, 24% surrendered. You bet. I mean, you got to bring a lunch, man. And again, they're winning on first down, putting you in third and medium, third and long. It's a tough deal, man. Fourth down conversions, Tennessee 8 of 11. Opponents 3 of just 14. So when you talk about extending drive, you talk about possession plays. His defense is legit, guys. And, you know, we talk about how great that front was at A&M. You know, this Tennessee front's really good, too, but this linebacking core is excellent. This may be the best defense we've seen to date. You say, but Steve, what about Texas? Well, that's comparable, but they're in the same league. It never gets any easier if you're Mississippi State in the Southeastern Conference. Now, they have put the ball on the ground a few times, 10, and they've lost five of those. They forced 19 fumbles. Only recovered seven of them. But it's just interesting when you kind of look inside the numbers here. It's like when this Tennessee team, there's not a glaring weakness. They also feature one of the best running backs in the country, Dylan Sampson. 171 attempts for 1,000 yards. He's only had 20 yards of loss for a net of 980. 19 touchdowns on the year. He is the straw that stirs a drink. 122 yards per game. That's absolutely getting it done. Now Nico, you know, the quarterback is a little bit involved in a run game, but it's kind of run by opportunity. It's not something they do a whole lot of, but they will do some design quarterback runs just to kind of keep you honest. But we're going to see a pro, you know, when Dylan Sampson's on the field. Guys, excellent, excellent, excellent player. And so be prepared for that. Let's go ahead and take our next break here at Campus Bookmart. Encourage you, when you're looking for Mississippi State merch for all the Bulldogs on your Christmas list, get a hold of Campus Bookmart. Go by and see their smiling faces when you can. You'll be glad you did. Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution, whether you're looking for apparel or gift ideas, looking at something for yourself, which I don't think is selfish this time of year, no matter what somebody else may try to tell you. You can visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Bondyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that's BSR. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson. Get you $75 free shipping on all of your orders over $75. There we go. Finally got it out. So campusbookmart.net, a Starkvillian institution. We love them. When I get ready to buy Mississippi State gifts and apparel, that's where I go. And I love going in there. I wish I probably had the, you know, a limitless gift card to be able to go in there and take care of all of you. Because every Bulldog wants more maroon stuff for Christmas. Just be thinking about that. All right. You know, a lot of these teams kind of, the running game is by committee. That's not really the case with Tennessee. They do have a couple guys out there that kind of share the load a little bit. But by and large, guys, they've had 363 rushing attempts this year, 171, nearly half of them, Dylan Sampson. And if you've gotten in a conference play, it's really been the Dylan Sampson show. From a passing standpoint, it's Nico Iamaleva, 136 completions on 208 attempts, just four picks against nine touchdowns. Averaging right at 213 yards a game, and to be honest with you, when you're running it as well as they are, you just need a little bit of balance just to keep those safeties honest. Nine touchdowns through the air, 1,705 yards, The one big play of 66 for them. But by and large, you know, depth of target has not been maybe what it has been historically under Heupel. They're not just kind of letting it fly like they have, you know, in recent years. I think a lot of that just because of the fact is you've got a first-year quarterback. You know, yes, I know he played a bowl game, but I think they'll be a little more explosive next year. Gaston Moore has played in four games too, 11 of 17, thrown a couple of picks himself, a couple of touchdowns. But, yeah, it's the Nico show along with Dylan Sampson. From a receiving standpoint, we talk about doing it by committee. They pretty much do. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, we talk about our wide receiver room. They've got a really good one too. And you probably do a much better job protecting than we do. And that's not being self-loathing. I mean, it's just kind of giving Tennessee credit for who they are and what they built. But Dante Thornton leads them with 401 yards receiving, three touchdowns, and averaging over 50 yards per reception. I got a dog somewhere looking for me. Let me pause the show and go rescue this animal. I'll be right back. All right, all good, all good, all good. But, yeah, Brew McCoy, 25 grabs, leads the team with 345 yards. I guess second in receptions, or first in receptions, second in receiving yards. We'll get it going. And then Chris Brazel, the second with 20. But Squirrel White with 22. They do kind of evenly distribute the football here. So that is going to be a real test for the secondary in that respect. Defensively, again, they have been absolutely outstanding. Arion Carter leads the team with 43 tackles, got 4.5 TFLs, an interception, a pass breakup. Pretty amazing linebacker, sophomore backer out of Smyrna, Tennessee there. Three breakups, three quarterback hurries. He is always around the football. Will Brooks, a name that you probably know, with 37 tackles. But team defense, just absolutely phenomenal. When you work through this, got 62 tackles for loss. They allowed 40. They're absolutely getting it done. We talk about defense winning championships. This is a very complete Tennessee team. Seven picks, 29 pass breakups. When they don't get to the quarterback, they still impact the quarterback. 42 quarterback hurries on the year. Seven fumble recoveries on the year as well. And eight forced fumbles. Of course, there have been some others that have just kind of hit the turf there. But, yeah, you look at this thing, man. It is an impressive Tennessee team that is still kind of flying under the radar a little bit. There are some people, you know, connected to the Tennessee program kind of disappointed in where they are in the FBS playoff rankings, but they'll have an opportunity to fix that. We mentioned Jackson Ross, the punter, averaging 44.4 yards per punt, along of 57, eight fair catches, a couple touchbacks, six of 50-plus. So maybe Kevin Coleman gets an opportunity to grab one if we can force a punt, which has been more difficult, easier said than done for us as of late. Max Gilbert, the kicker, we've talked about his struggles here as of late, 12 of 18 on the year. But it's all so incredibly important to really break down, you know, who is what and kind of what they're getting done here. These kickoffs, JT Carver, when he's kicked, been outstanding, 4 of 4. Four kickoffs, four touchbacks. Josh Turbyville, 51 kicks and 45 touchbacks. So not a lot of room to return. And when you do return it, you elect, well, hey, we got to go make a play. They'll get after you a little bit too. Let's kind of look at what's left for Tennessee too. That's one of the things too when you start thinking about playing teams later in the year with something to play for. They will travel to Athens, Georgia next week. Could be the game of the week. Then they get UTEP at home and then close with Vanderbilt. And so outside of that Georgia game, you think, hey, these guys are going to be great. You know, so you look at you know, probably a 10-2 year for these guys. Is that enough to get them into playoffs? Yeah, it should be. And you never know what's going to happen around them. But you know, they have a pretty, outside of that Georgia game, it's a pretty paved path as you're going to play you know, Mississippi State at home, and then you get two of three on the road. That trip to Vanderbilt may not be you know, what it has been. But nevertheless, it's a game that I'm sure Tennessee will be favored in. But Vanderbilt has kind of proven to be a much better team, as we've talked about. You know, those guys are now bowl eligible. Yeah, it's crazy. And congratulations to them. But Tennessee in a really good position to control their own destiny. Everything in front of them, you begin to even think about that Georgia game. You know, I'm eager to watch that game. I'm eager to get to Knoxville. Spent a lot of time there, of course, last couple years. But yeah, we'll find some good food while we're up there. But it's pretty interesting when you start breaking this thing down and you begin to kind of consider that I don't think many people really had Tennessee kind of where they are. And now all of a sudden you look up, that win over Alabama is a large one. But as we look ahead here at the SEC standings, Georgia 5-1. And so that could potentially kind of serve as a play-in game in the SEC championship. A&M 5-1, Tennessee 4-1. LSU 3-1, a lot of SEC games left for them and for Texas. But, you know, the hay for the most part for Georgia and A&M in many respects is kind of in the barn. Got a little bit left to play, a couple more SEC games to go, but that Tennessee-Georgia game looms large as we get into this thing. You know, pretty significant matchup next week, as you guys are well aware of. But, you know, Bulldogs, you know, it just hadn't been our year. That's just kind of the reality of where things sit. And I don't expect, you know, a good result this week. We're playing a better team in their backyard, a team that's playing for some things that are very significant, a chance to play in the SEC championship game and to be in the playoffs. So let's take a quick look at the playoff rankings, too, before we change gears here and then and kind of move forward. As I mentioned, we'll have a more abbreviated you know, show today. The playoff rankings came out yesterday. Outside of the Mississippi State soccer result, this is probably the biggest news in sports. But Oregon, number one. Remember when they hired Dan Lanning and people were like, you know, this is a joke? And I remember, I can't remember who the reporter was, but there was a guy that put out there that Oregon was hiring Dan Lanning, and everybody in the National College Football Media said this isn't correct. He didn't even respond to any tweets. He just trusted his reporting, and then Lanning was named the coach, and they're number one in the FBS playoff rankings, number one overall in the rankings, and 9-0. Ohio State, number two, Georgia at three. Miami, undefeated Miami at four. Mario Cristobal kind of went into this year on the hot seat a little bit, and now you look at them in a great position to make the playoffs. Texas at five, at 7-1. Penn State at six, 7-1. And some people are critical of that that positioning. Tennessee right there at seven, and then Indiana at eight. Indiana could be an interesting team to kind of watch. You know, Kurt Cignetti doing a great job there. BYU, nine, with an 8-0 record. Notre Dame at 10 at 7-1. Alabama at 11 at 6-2. And is Alabama done losing? Can we trust Alabama? I don't think we can. Boise at 12 at 7-1. And just right behind them, you look at what Rhett Lashley's done at SMU. They're 13th. A&M is 14, LSU 15, Ole Miss there at 16, and you want that to continue to drop, right? Of course, big ball game, Ole Miss and Georgia coming up. You got to feel like if Georgia can, you know, get a win this week, it probably puts a fork in Ole Miss's playoff chances. You know, how will the Rebels react down the stretch if they feel like they're out of the playoffs? Of course, still a chance to play their way in. I mean, you get a win over Georgia, it's a completely different ball game, right? And so, you know, real quickly here, let's take we'll take a quick look at kind of what's coming up this week, kind of give you some early thoughts on that. Should be a great weekend. Florida is at Texas, and you got to like Texas' chances there. And again, you know, what's the temperature like in Gainesville these days? You know, I don't think Florida's got a lot left. Now you got to go to number five, Texas. You know, again, we talk about, you know, the Gators and Billy Napier, and it may be a quiet year in the SEC in the crazy season, but man, you know, Florida, you talk kind of a murderer's row here. You go to Texas, then you host LSU, then you host Ole Miss, and I think that LSU and Ole Miss both will be favored going to Gainesville, and so let's assume they lose those three. Well, you're assured of a 5-7 record. I mean, you're staring 5-7 right in the face right now. if you're Florida. And then, of course, they've had some injuries at the quarterback position. You know, said, you know, we'll see how things go. But I don't think that the Graham Mertz injury saves Billy Napier. I don't think a 5-7 or even a 6-6 year is going to be enough. And I know that Scott Strickland said earlier this year he expected Billy Napier to be the coach for several years moving forward. It is apparent to everybody that it has just simply not worked. Georgia is at Ole Miss. That's probably the game of the week. And that's to give Ole Miss a lot of credit, too. Can you imagine? It's going to be an incredible environment. Georgia, a road favorite in this thing at 2.5 points. But, you know, Ole Miss, extremely impressive last week against an Arkansas team that really made Mississippi State look bad. And I don't know that State's the best barometer of quality within this league right now. But Georgia at Ole Miss could be a very entertaining game. But let's not forget what Georgia did to Ole Miss last year. That game was over before anybody got comfortable. South Carolina's at Vanderbilt. I think you got to like, even though South Carolina's a road favorite, I think you got to like, you know, Vanderbilt a little bit at home. That'll be a fun one to talk about on Friday. We discussed State and Tennessee. And, of course, in Alabama at LSU, that'll be a 6:30 kick. A lot of you will be flipping back and forth between the two games, State and Tennessee. And then Oklahoma at Missouri. That has the ability to maybe be a sneaky good game. I think Missouri has come down to earth. But Oklahoma, of course, fired Seth Luttrell, their offensive coordinator, and looked a little bit better. You know, since they've made the move there. Of course, they played the Maine Black Bears last week. But Oklahoma, a 2.5-point favorite on the road at Missouri. And really, the quarterback situation at Missouri will probably determine the outcome of this game. You know, and we'll get the health reports, our initial availability report this evening. And so if you're in the greater Starkville area, you can come out and go to Dog Talk. But that's kind of how things look right now. And again, an interesting week. No non-conference games this week, and every game matters. Yet some people out there, you know, playing for the playoffs and some people playing for their jobs. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. If you're bringing a large group of fans to town or family to town, why look anywhere else? The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, a full-service kitchen, that great back porch area, the wet bar, the fire pit area, 5 bedrooms, 2 baths. It's the old renovated clubhouse at the old country club, an amazing facility. Plenty of room out there to kind of spread out and have a good time. You only have the one immediate neighbor. We don't want you throwing a rager, but really it's about, you know, having some peace and quiet, right? That's one of the best things about traveling and having a chance to bring family together is, you know, not having a lot of distractions. We're going to be there here in a couple months. Well, not even that now, as we're winding down. As I've shared with you guys, I'm probably more excited about that than I am Christmas, just because I'll have all my kids under one roof. And we might even wait and exchange gifts then so we can see the look on their faces. Excited about it. And you should be too. If you want to get all your kids or all your friends or all your family under one roof at a very cool venue, look at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, you can Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page will auto-populate. And then you can look through the pictures and the amenities of all the things that are available to you and your guests. In addition to that, some booking options are going to pop up too. You're going to have Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay. Just by listening to this show, we're saving you some money. So whether it's a college roommates reunion or just a chance to get your family together, look no further than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, before we get out of here, a couple things I want to do. As I told you, abbreviated show today. There's a couple of misnomers and misunderstandings about the book, The Dude. This is not just a baseball book. This is not the history of Dudie Noble Field. This is a biography of Dudie Noble, the person with whom we've named the stadium after. He's also the most decorated student athlete in the history of Mississippi State. And I had some conversations over the weekend, and some people think, well, you know, hey, you know, Steve, we don't write enough about basketball. There's some very, very interesting basketball information in this book, including the hiring of Babe McCarthy. There's even a letter from Babe McCarthy to Dudie Noble upon his retirement that you'll be able to read. It's been made public for the very first time. But I want to kind of correct, you know, some misunderstandings out there. This is not just a baseball book. Dudie played football, basketball, baseball, and ran track. And when he was a senior here, he was your starting quarterback, your starting center fielder, your starting point guard. And then he set the conference record in 100 and 220-yard dashes. And so it's not just a baseball book. If you love baseball, there's going to be a ton of baseball in there. But there's also, you know, the coaching search to hire Alan McKean. Detail all that out for you. And you'll be shocked. There was a possibility. State even had a deal in place and a contract, and things ultimately fell apart. State had the opportunity and appeared to be well on their way to hire one of the most decorated coaches in college football at the time, a guy that had won multiple national championships at another school and had agreed in principle to come to Mississippi State. And that didn't work out. And then Duty Noble got in the car and drove to Knoxville, Tennessee, of all places, and spent some time with General Neyland. And, of course, you got to make at least the overture, right? And, of course, Bob Neyland wasn't interested in leaving. But Bobby Dodd was the hot name. He was kind of the Jimbo Fisher, right, of those days. And it's like, hey, what do we got to do to get Bobby Dodd, who was a guy very connected to Coach Neyland? And in those conversations, the name Alan McKean was shared with Duty Noble. And so it's those things as well. And after the great Bilbo Purge of 1930, and if you don't know much about that, you're going to learn a lot about it because it was something that negatively impacted Mississippi State for years as Governor Theodore Bilbo was pushing the state legislature to put a state college board together, and then they were reluctant to do so. And so he took it upon himself to kind of act as the state college board and fired the presidents at State, Ole Miss, and at the W. In addition to that, hundreds of faculty members also were relieved of duty. And that's part of this thing, too, and kind of the recovery from that, too. I mean, you know, the shot that we took, not just us, but Ole Miss and others, because we had a madman sitting in the governor's mansion that negatively impacted a lot of stuff. And so that's in there, too. And so I want to make sure that you guys have kind of an accurate assessment of what the book is and what it's really about. That's why it's called The Life and Times of Duty Noble. It's really about the things that impacted the university, a ton of history in this book, and it's not all about baseball. Of course, there is a lot of baseball in this book because Duty Noble is kind of synonymous with baseball. And of course, there's the, you know, there's the, you know, the naming of the stadium. And it's so interesting that Don Scott and Duty Noble were contemporaries and friends and actually went to go compete at the AAU NAFL Championships together. You know, thanks to people from their hometowns in Woodville and Learned, Mississippi, that all pitched in to ensure that they could go and travel and represent Mississippi and represent Mississippi A&M at the time in a very prestigious event. And so I encourage you to get the book and go to Duty Noble book.com, and all of my sports titles are available there. And we did recently, kind of miraculously, find a couple more cases of Stark Villains and Alpha Dogs, and they weren't mislabeled, but they were in the wrong place. They were in the backside of the dog pile inventory, and so they were counted as dog pile for about a year or so. And then, of course, when we kind of move things around and get ready to receive the dude in, as we're going through a re-inventory and everything, and lo and behold, we did find a couple of cases of both of those books. And so, again, those are going to go out of print for a while, and we'll probably do an updated edit in the years to come. But if you're looking for those to kind of complete your collection, you can find those. So again, some additional inventory now found. If you hadn't done so, we encourage you to come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. The wife runs the business, and it's been very successful so far. You could always use a little more business these days. And if you are having some type of anxiety or just need some break from some perhaps some chronic pain, we may be able to help you. Maybe you've got election redux today and you just said, Steve, I just need to recenter myself. Well, we may be able to help you with that. Dial 662-268-7601 and you can schedule time to float. You don't have to be you know, a person that's infirmed in any way, though. You could be just somebody that needs some time to yourself and just need a break. We can help you with that. Again, that's Stark Vegas. Excuse me. True West Float Spa of Starkville. Had a lot to kind of get in here. And so we're going to begin to wrap this thing up. But I just want to encourage you this as we go. There have been a lot of things that have happened in my life over the course of my life on the national stage. And, you know, that we all deal with the same things, right? But the thing that I have learned is that, you know, my help comes from somewhere beyond the White House. It's true. That's what my life, no matter who has been in the Oval Office, my life has not changed an awful lot. And so I would encourage you, let's not make it out to be more than it is. Let's not make it less than it is. Let's not just completely dismiss it, because we all, you know, deal with the same policies and procedures and the culture in our country. But my hope now is that we can have a bit of unification in some respects. And I know some people that are incredibly emotionally invested in national politics, and it's kind of become their online identity. But one of the things that I have learned about national elections is it's not the extremist on either side of the aisle that determine elections. It's the people in the middle. It's the moderates. Those are the people that determine elections. And those are the people that elect presidents. And so what you have to do is you can't just cater to your base. You have to cater to those people, because they are typically the undecided voters within this country. And it's interesting to kind of see how things play out. But we are most concerned about a maroon state, not a red one, not a blue one. We never want a red and blue state here in Mississippi, because you know what that means. But my hope is that you are well today, and that you'll come out and be a part of our festivities here the next couple of days. So I won't be around the side a lot the next couple of days. Our crew will have to take care of you. Of course, you know, we got game coverage every day this week. You know, and so that's a great thing. But I will be at Meridian 11 to 1. I may hang out a little bit afterwards. And you never know. Probably head down to Weidman's to pay my respects again to Shorty McWilliams and Miss Gloria McWilliams. I love Weidman's. I think it's a great thing. It's a great story, too, with Shorty electing to give up pro football and move back to Meridian to help run the family business. And so anytime that I'm in Meridian and I have time, I like to go in there and eat. Sometimes I get the quesadilla of the day. So that's the plan. You know, we'll go have the book signing, and we'll head over to Weidman's and get that bread pudding, too. I'm a bread pudding connoisseur. And then, again, all day Thursday, I think it's 9 to 9, I'll be at the Mistletoe Marketplace there in Jackson with College Corner. So if you or your wife are out and about, more times than not, it's probably going to be the wife. She does most of the Christmas shopping. That's how it is in my family, too. But come by and be a part of that. And then I'll be leaving for Knoxville on Friday. I'm going to be at Kirkwood High School Friday night to watch a playoff game between Bartlett, Tennessee, and Kirkwood. Jerron Johnson, Mississippi State running back commitment, played in that game. And I've already got my my plans made. I've reached out to the staff there. We're on the guest list. And, again, a chance for us to see another out-of-state player. Trying to make the most of these road trips, right? Trying to work in some recruiting coverage in addition to our game coverage. And when I go cover this game on Friday at Kirkwood High School there in Tennessee, that'll be the fourth state this year that I've watched a Mississippi State commitment in. We take that stuff very seriously. And so when else am I going to get a chance to see these guys play? And I think you guys need some information, some images, and at times some video. So we look forward to bringing you that over at jeanspage.com this weekend. I'll have the Boneyard article up a little bit later, but this will auto-populate, obviously, to where you find your podcast. But let's get out of here. I got to get cleaned up, pack a bag, and hit the road to Meridian. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply, in-app only.